It's time for Cutting Edge Consciousness with Reman Michaels and Barnett Bain. Thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
And it's Cutting Edge Consciousness. This is Barnett Bain here with my co-host, Freeman Michaels. How are you, Freeman?
I'm doing okay.
You are? Are you sure? I'm looking, I'm peering straight down the gun sights at you, and I'm sizing you up because, listen, I can be frank with our audience at this point. You had a pretty sketchy week there. There were some rough seas there for a while. What was going on, buddy?
You know, I got triggered a lot, and I had a...
I guess gun sights is, I didn't want to re-trigger anything with.
Yeah, don't use that terminology, please. You know, I had an intense
experience.
It's good
to see you breathing, though.
Yeah, I'm breathing. And I'm grateful for it because, you know, it always allows me to see myself more dimensionally. I see aspects of me sort of rear up and as we've expressed in the past, you know, take the wheel of the bus. And,
yeah.
And hopefully I catch it before it crashes, which, you know.
Well, last time I saw you, I saw the top of the bus and the back of the bus lurching through God knows what kind of field.
It was bumpy. Well, let me tell you what happened. So I had a dream. Let me tell it to you in this context. So I had this dream. This is a dream I've had for many, many years. And what's important about the dream, you and I have talked about this again, is we can go with the images in the dream, but it's less about that, at least for me. It's more about the sensation. So I had a dream, and in this dream, and again, this is a dream I've had for many years, and I have it reoccurringly, when I don't feel good about myself in a particular way. And so, basically, in this dream, I'm in a social setting, and I go to the bathroom, and I defecate on myself. And I can't get it off. It's sticky. I can't get it off. And
this is good. We just lost like half our morning commute. People have just switched over.
Listen,
stay with us, folks.
Please, there's more to the story.
This gets better.
Yeah. Well, what happens is this. I ultimately end up going back to the party very worried that I didn't get it off. I didn't get it all off. And then I start to notice people are moving away from me. And I really get triggered. And I woke up. And I woke up kind of sweating, feeling like a fool, like, you know.
Humiliated,
exactly.
Shamed.
So this was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I got up and I wrote some and I kind of processed it. And it was a bumpy day, though. And I had, my wife had sent me to the dollar store to get batteries. We always get batteries for the kids' toys at the dollar store because they're only going to last a week and a half anyhow. And so those batteries are just perfect. So I went to get batteries at the dollar store.
What lasts longer, the batteries or the toys?
No, I'm just saying that the kids are bored. They're bored in a week and a half. I mean, it's the greatest toy. You know, all of the electronic toys consistently are their favorite toy for a minute. And then a week later, they could care less. Whereas other toys that they have to figure out and stuff last, you know, much longer. Yeah.
So you got the batteries.
I'm at the dollar store, and I get in line behind this lady, and I'm buying the batteries and soda or whatever, and this homeless guy gets in line behind me. And guess what?
Yeah.
He smells.
And
I initially am, like, flushed with, you know, lots of emotion. I want out of there, like, oh, I'm stuck. I got to wait for this lady. And she's, you know, she's thumbing through her, you know, trying to figure out how she's going to pay, and the whole thing is going on and on.
What did it bring up for you?
It dawned on me. Because, you know, we've talked about this so often that, you know, I'm not my brother's keeper, then I am my brother's keeper, then, oh.
You are your brother.
I'm my brother. And that guy's me. You know, obviously, I that's a way, that's an expression of it that's taken it awfully far.
So what was he carrying for you in that moment? What was going on that you were, You saw in him of yourself.
Well, you know, this is it. It's to love the part of me and have compassion for the part of me that feels that way. It feels so unlovable. It feels, and I like to say that I've integrated it. I like to say that. But my truth is, it's still this aspect of me. And we've talked about this on the show.
Was he comfortable in himself?
No.
No, he wasn't.
No, he was really in a state.
Because it would have been great if he was comfortable in himself and you could have owned that as a mirror of, wow, I've worked through some stuff.
Yeah.
And you could still own it as, wow, I'm working through some stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's so much dimension to it. And I guess the piece for me is I have this moment, and I don't know if I can even represent it in words, where I was sort of witnessing how far these aspects of my experience could go. Similar to when I worked with the guys at Homeboys, like I saw how far they took an aspect that was within me. I could see myself not committing the crimes they committed necessarily, but the same qualities and the same reaction and the same rage are in me. You know, and that part of me that
the
sees
same
it reflected.
Feeling of being alienated, unheard, unseen, unmattering, no impact, no voice.
That's it. That's the guy I was. I was. That's the part of me that popped up at 3 o'clock in the morning, panicked that you know I am as big a loser as I feel like at that in that sort of judgmental stage of this part of me that I've denied and rejected most of my life. That's the bottom line. So you know, it's been an interesting thing because after that, I really had to have a tremendous amount of compassion for the guy behind me in line and myself and this opportunity to, you know, this sense of vulnerability. That entire day I felt really vulnerable. And I walked the world that way, seeing it as a dimension of me and honoring that. So almost a parallel self.
Yeah, well, with that wonderful dimensional parallel self.
Thank you.
I think it's appropriate to introduce our guest, our in-studio guests. We have a, well, I said guests, so I guess that's true, too.
That's right. The plural. Now you got some splitting to do.
Well, what, who do we know that sits in one chair, that is many sitting in one chair, okay? As Walt Whitman said, we contain multitudes. Our next guest contains multitudes.
Yep.
We have with us Daryl Anka, who for almost 30 years now, individuals all over the globe have made the journey to meet renowned channel Daryl Anka, who brings through a remarkable interdimensional being known as Bashar. And I personally can vouch for the quality and the integrity of both Daryl and Bashar. Both have been, I have been friendly with both for probably close to that whole 30 years. So Bashar, along with Edgar Cayce and Seth and the Abraham Hicks materials, the Bashar material has been heralded as some of the most relevant, compelling, and dynamic information delivered and made available to us to date. Beyond his channeling activities, Daryl is also a creative talent in the form of writing and directing and producing films. And he will talk a little bit with us about his activities in that arena as well. I'm really, really pleased to have you with us, my very, very old friend and dear friend, Daryl Anka. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm really, really happy to be here with you guys. This is fun.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you here.
Thanks.
So what do you think of our buddy Freeman? What little pearl do you think that you could toss our way that might further unpack some of what Freeman's been going through?
Well, you were talking about the idea of loving that part of yourself and seeing that, you know, everything is a reflection of you in some way, shape, or form. You know, we are all one. We are all connected that way. We're just different expressions of the same one source. And we all have our own unique journey about how we realize that. And obviously yours is vibrationally geared to what it is you're exploring as a theme, like us all. And I know you're getting a lot out of that as you go. I guess the primary point would be that no matter how it feels, to always know that you're going to be able to get something positive out of that as long as you can take a step back and look at it from a positive point of view. And even if the experience itself was negative or felt negative to begin with, or you were labeling it as negative to begin with, you can always turn that label around. And as soon as you do, you're going to get a different effect out of it. You're going to see it from a different perspective. You're going to learn something new about that experience. You always have that choice and opportunity to do so.
That's a huge distinction that you're making. It bears sort of repeating a little bit. So you're saying that as we move into the world, we have experiences that are not don't always feel warm and fuzzy, don't always feel pleasant.
No,
and we have an option of coming to that with a huge negative charge.
Yes,
or experiencing it for what it is, unpleasant, without laying a whole bunch of pushback on it.
Yeah, it's not about denying the feelings that you're having or glossing them over in any way, shape, or form or ignoring them. It's about actually acknowledging them first because, as Bashar often suggests, you can't change what you don't own. So you have to own the fact that this is a creation coming from you. But he also talks about the idea that everything in life is fundamentally neutral. There's no built-in meaning. One of the phrases he often comes up with, which sounds a little odd at first, is that one of the greatest gifts we've been given by creation is that life is fundamentally meaningless. And what that simply means is that there's no built-in meaning to anything. Everything is kind of a neutral event. And we're designed, in a sense, to give life meaning, to give meaning to those events. And if we give them a negative meaning, we get a negative effect from them. And if we give them a positive meaning, we concurrently get a positive effect. It's really, in a sense, just another way of expressing physics. What you put out is what you get back. So even if you've had an experience that at first was generated by perhaps negative definitions of the experience, negative labels of the experience, which generated consequently negative feelings or a negative feedback, you always have a choice to step back from that and realize that the only reason it was experienced that way is because somewhere, either consciously or unconsciously, a negative definition was applied to it. And if you can step back and neutralize it and give it a positive meaning, look at it from more of an attitude of gratitude that this is another opportunity to learn something about yourself, then by applying that positive meaning, it will reflect a positive effect in your life at that point or from that point forward if you continue to look at it and interact with it and have a relationship with it that way.
And we've talked a lot about that on this show in terms of
not quite as succinctly, I might say.
I
mean, that was a master's class.
No, I get it. Yeah, no question.
I can't say hello that.
ownership has an element of liberation, at least for me, in my experience.
Very much so.
I can own it and own it with this sense of perspective and compassion and gratitude, then it lightens up.
And forgiveness.
And forgiveness. Thank you.
Release.
Yeah, because all of the meaning that I have given to things that I carry around. We've talked about like dragging a bunch of tin cans. These meanings that we have associated with things as good or bad or right or wrong are a burden. And to clip those from the perspective you're talking about, which is a kind of wisdom. Hmm. Yeah.
But we often battle these things as a mental construct rather than feeling these experiences in an embodied, in a somatic way. There's a big old mea culpa here. I've played that one for many, many years. And as I've said before on the show, I've only very recently begun to become aware of my emotional life, my energy motion, as it's expressed through my body, which is the first stop of the world.
Yeah.
And that aliveness, that developing a relationship with my emotion, with my energy motion, as it expresses through my body, is a critical step because I cannot, as Bashar has said, you cannot release what you don't own. You cannot sell a house that you don't have, that you don't hold the deed on.
It's one thing to understand it cognitively. It's another thing to have it experientially.
For many years, I thought, I understand this.
No, that's the same.
I understand this, but I don't felt sense. I have been removed from experiencing how it sits in my body, how it sits in my breathing. I've been estranged from the understanding that my body is a map, the first map of the territory expressed in physical substance of the territory of my consciousness.
And I'm a little concerned even the way I expressed that I was diminishing the jarring effect of going into that experience. I don't want to minimize that at all. I mean, for me, it's the self that I constructed and sort of have put out there in the world, this part of me that I denied. It is no easy thing for me to do to, you know, care for that part of me. My first reaction is almost always one of, you know, seeing it as negative, viewing it as negative, wanting to push that part away.
Then laying self-pity on it, or laying humiliation on it, or laying
compounding it.
Not feeling it come through, compounding it.
I think a good analogy, though, for that experience is sometimes what happens in science. When they go down a particular road, when they're experimenting with something, and it turns out to be not the effect they were looking for, They consider that a great celebration, a great happening, because now they know what not to do. Now they know what they don't prefer, and that eliminates that path for a lot of other people and for a lot of aspects within your own consciousness. So many times in this reality, because of the way we've been brought up, people sometimes have a better way or an easier way of clarifying who they really are and what they do prefer by first going down a road and discovering who they're not.
That's a great distinction. It's a great distinction. You know, it's interesting, too, because we had a scientist on recently who was talking about how when they do studies, the tendency has been to throw out the anomalies. If they're doing a study and someone comes in that's extraordinary,
that's called denial.
Well, but it's been the way it's been the way a lot of studies have been done.
Absolutely.
He was making the distinction.
Yeah.
His job is to move towards the anomalies. Listen, we need to take a quick break.
We'll be right back.
When we get back, though, I want to bring up paradox, because I know that paradox is important to us. We talk about it all the time. And I know, Gerald, that
we will
that,
be back with Daryl Anka, Bashar, and a pair of ducks.
Welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness, thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
And welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness. Freeman Michaels here with my co-host, Barnett Bain, and our wonderful guest, Daryl Anka, who's also the channel for Bashar. Before we went to break, Barnett, we were alluding to your favorite topic.
My favorite topic.
Pair of
you
ducks.
You promised we would get into a pair of ducks. So paradox for our for the benefit of our listeners who haven't been tracking this conversation. Paradox, a holding of two or more separate frequencies of idea and or action simultaneously, without reduction of attention assets from either task. Now, scientists love...
What the heck did
neuropsychologists,
you just say?
I'm working with some neuropsychologists, and they love that kind of talk. Love it. So what else
good.
Is paradox?
If they're listening to the show, then we've still got an audience.
Well,
if
we
they're
got,
not...
We got one. We got one or two. What else is paradox? Paradox is also has a mystical function. Paradox is also a channel of communication from aspects of the self beyond logic and reason, from an ultra-creative self. And I am quite confident that you have a considerable amount of insight into this that you'd like to
weigh in on. Bashar talks about paradox all the time. In fact, he calls paradox the point of power. Because you are understanding things which appear to be opposites, at the same time, that means you have to be in the center of those two things. They have to both be coming from you. And therefore, it positions you squarely at the center, squarely at the balance point, which is your point of power.
Oh, that's so good.
You just paid for yourself,
yeah.
Daryl.
And he did it in one sentence,
one
Barnett.
Sentence just paid for. So let's wrap it up. We can go home.
That's right. The brilliance of...
That was fantastic.
Fantastic.
It's a good thing we're going to lunch.
So the, but I'm going to say more about it. So the dimensional perspective.
Don't ruin that.
I'm not going to ruin it. Come on now. The dimensional perspective as being empowering is really exciting to me, because in my life I was very attached to an either or paradigm. What you're suggesting is it's a both and, that there's
yes.
multitudes of different ways to look at things, and they can all be held simultaneously.
Yes, Bashar often says it's not this or that, it's this and that. Mm. And that when you do that, you have to expand your consciousness to include what appears in the physical reality to be opposites, but from a higher perspective, it can be seen that those are simply different aspects of the same one consciousness.
And they're just possibilities.
And they're just choices.
I love it.
They are choices... it's a frequency game. They are choices that disparate choices, apparently, and we experience them as such. But when we begin to play that energy game, when we begin to become frequency alchemists, we begin to mix these things.
There's some good language.
They become not confused, but co-fused.
Yes.
And they lift to a higher order of harmony and complexity.
Absolutely.
So... we have
now talked, we can go home.
Now we can go home. Drinks all around.
We have talked on this show before. I think we made the distinction. We talked about beauty on this show as being beauty as being a frequency.
Yes.
Or they are really a harmonic of frequencies. Beauty. Think exhilaration plus serenity. Experience simultaneously is beauty.
That's a good one. I like that formula.
Now, what is wonderful, what we love about this conversation, and you're going to jump in here in miraculous ways, I know it. What is wonderful about this conversation is as we increasingly expand consciousness, we become more and more attuned to the resonances of paradox.
Yes.
So what are we waiting for? What do you think might be in store if we begin to cultivate paradox consciously with intention? All new capacity.
We'll become conscious creators instead of unconscious ones. We start to realize that within every question, the answer is there.
Mm-hmm.
And as Bashar says, all we have to do is take that little bent question mark and straighten it out into an exclamation point to realize that we wouldn't be able to even ask the question if something in our consciousness didn't understand the answer already. The question would never occur to us if the answer wasn't already there.
That's fantastic.
We become clearer. We become more transparent. We become more of who we actually were created to be.
And we stop waiting.
We stop waiting
for something outside of us to happen. This incessant, you know, fixation on the collective. Now everyone has to change. It's not required.
Yes.
We begin to become players. Conscious
co-creators.
Conscious players. Yes. Conscious players. It is a very, very different game.
Yes.
When we begin to generate reality, not in out of a reaction to causes, but out of generating causes and then waiting to see the effects, or generating effects rather, and then waiting to see the causes. It's no longer a cause
an
leads to effect reality.
Right.
It's an effect leads to cause.
Well,
reality.
Or everything is viewed simultaneously.
Yes, it's all viewed simultaneously, but as a the leading edge of the leading edge of our reality creation, the virgin frontier of exploration, is not at the level of impact causation of pushing around the furniture. It is at the level of generating something mystically, wonderfully, co-creatively, magically, and our hand in it is this blending of frequencies, blending, which can only happen when we have looked within and dealt sufficiently, not perfectly, but sufficiently with all of the matrix of limiting belief and thought and choice and decision.
Yeah,
and
it becomes less of a linear space-time experience and more of a simultaneous holographic one, where you're seeing the interconnection and interrelationship of everything that exists all at once and making choices from that point of view instead of from a more limited point of view.
So now I have a perspective on this. Did you remember to pick up the gallon of milk for your wife? When it becomes...
If she's listening and there is a problem when I get home, you better get back in that bus.
The part about this that becomes so interesting...
I got it, San.
He's got it.
I got it. It's in the back.
That's right.
I have to go pick it up because it was going to get hot in the car.
That's
right. Yeah, how's that?
The part about
good cover.
This, yeah, thank you.
The part, Daryl has it.
The part about this that's so interesting, because we've referred to the reservation, the physical world reality, the way that we're playing out this incredible metaphysical perception that we're talking about on sort of one hand, and on the other hand, we got to pick up the milk on the way home.
Yep.
And we have to navigate this incredible how do we describe this crazy cosmic play?
In the world, but not of it,
as
has been said before by, who was that?
Yeah.
But those two things don't have to be seen as different. They don't have to be labeled as
different.
Because by labeling them as different, you have a different experience of each of those things.
Well put.
But if you look at the whole thing holographically, if you live in the moment with that, as Bashar often says, it's not that you have to have a memory in the way we think we do. It's that you simply know what you need to know when you need to know it.
That's fantastic.
So you have access. You have access
instantaneously
to resources,
to information and data when you need it. It's not something you have to remember. And per se.
I love Bashar. Be sure and say hi to Bashar.
Right. Hi, Bashar.
And there's an element of choice with this dimensional perspective. So
always.
Something arrives in physical world reality. There's, instead of one way of defining it, good or bad, or two ways, I should say, there's infinite. And the element of consciousness allows us to choose from a much larger...
Chicken or fish.
Or anything else you
or
want
vegetables.
It to be.
Or vegetables.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of my favorite sayings Bashar has is, if there was only one way, there would only be one person. Look
That's
around.
Right. That's right. And the element that you started with, the idea of meaning. Do I want to make this meaningful? What meaning do I want to apply to this? How right. do I want to
We always
relate
make
to what's
it meaningful.
Coming
it's just what kind of meaning.
That's
do we
a kind
want
of meaning.
That's
and,
a good
And
point.
Are we lit enough and patient enough to look below the surfaces of things, to discern the meaning that we're giving it, and then to decide whether it is in alignment with what our choices
and
preferences
maybe we
want
to change the meaning.
But I'm going to say we don't even need patience.
Love it.
Because if you're living in the moment, you're loving what you do, what are you waiting for?
That's right. That's right.
And that's great.
And if we find something that we've given meaning to, and we go, I don't want it to mean that anymore, we change the meaning.
Change
or we change
meaning.
The story, as
great.
We've said. You
yes.
know, we realize the story we've been telling, and we go, I don't want to keep perpetuating that story. All right, I'm not telling that anymore. Boom. What happens to it? Energetically, it's gone.
Yes. Bashar recently did a seminar.
It would never have been.
Yeah, he recently did a seminar specifically on the idea of how story structure is embedded in our consciousness.
Say more.
And it's really about the idea of what story are we telling ourselves, and
That's
do we
it.
Want to tell ourselves a different story? Mm. And that will change everything.
Say more.
Well, the idea a long time when you deal with story structure, people have thought, well, of course, there are archetypes in story structure. But Bashar is saying that story structure itself...
Energetic archetypes you're speaking to.
Yes. I mean, when you talk about a typical movie or any kind of a book or story, there
or
are
a life
archetypes.
Story.
Or
this
a life
happened,
story.
This
there are archetypes within it. Bashar is saying that story structure itself is an archetype. And when you tell a story that resonates and hits all the right chords of that archetypal structure, that's when the information sticks. That's why when we tell stories, we remember the information. It's following an archetypal structure that's built into our consciousness. And when you hit those points, you can't possibly forget it because it hits all the right chords.
Wow.
So tell yourself the story that hits all those points in exactly the right way, in exactly the right vibration for you,
frequency,
and that's
vibration.
Who you actually are. That's your true story, your true frequency.
That's so good.
That's good.
That's fantastic. All right, I want to go in a slightly different direction, but it's all the same conversation. So let's talk for a minute about parallel realities. So
Love
when we
parallel realities.
Yeah. The way I understand it, and you may be able to clarify this, because I'll probably do like
Barnett. Got a hunch.
And get it all loopy, loopy, loopy. But the idea is, as I relate to something differently, I quite literally am in a different experience or something of that nature. Is that how you would describe parallel realities? Or
yes, yeah. Although I'll go further with it.
Yeah, I knew you would.
Bashar has actually talked a lot about parallel realities lately, and one of the things he's actually said is, whether we know it or not, we're actually shifting through literally billions of parallel realities per second. In fact, that's what time is. The illusion, the side effect we call time, is our consciousness shifting billions of times a second from static parallel reality to static parallel reality. That creates the illusion of movement, of time. And so if you understand that you're shifting billions of times a second, you're always at a zero point. You can always redefine yourself. It's a sequence of parallel realities that we're calling a parallel reality. Mm. So it's a direction of parallel realities. But they all exist at the same time. You can choose any path through them. And if you know you can do that at every single moment, then whatever you define yourself to be at that moment is the sequence of parallel realities you set up for yourself.
I hope you're buying him a really good lunch.
Really, really good lunch.
That was fantastic.
Isn't that great? And then we create a context for ourselves per where we are developmentally. We contextualize it in a story.
Right.
With a present and a past and a future. We string these beads of experience in a straight line like pearls in a necklace, and we call that our story,
right.
our present, our past, our future. Many years ago, many, many years ago now, Bashar said something to me that was like tossing a grenade into my consciousness.
Kaboom.
He said a lot of years ago, the present is not the result of the past.
Mm.
That was a seismic piece of information. And it's very much, it's very germane to what we're talking about right now.
Absolutely.
It is also, the present is not the result of the past. It is more the result of the futures that we are choosing for ourselves, set against the backdrop of the story we tell ourselves of the past. But generally, we have been going around with married to these stories and dragging our conditioned self, conditioned by our experiences that we call the past, throwing that into the future and creating these vibrations of self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah. The present is not the result of the past.
That's a game changer.
Huge.
Yes.
Huge.
Yeah, every moment is unique. Every moment is new. Every moment is zero.
And parallel realities, future realities, multidimensional realities, there is only now.
Right.
But they are all, it's a frequency game.
As Bashar says, what we think of as different moments are all the same moment viewed from different perspectives.
God, I love that.
That's a good.
Love that guy, that Bashar guy.
Yeah. Is he coming to lunch too? Because he gets an extra special something. I don't know.
It won't cost you anything because he doesn't eat.
He's not a big eater.
He's a cheap date. That's not even better.
He's not a big eater.
Just a little energy on the side.
All right, so I'm out of questions. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not out of questions.
What else is going on with you, Darryl? I know you're just finishing a movie.
We are in post-production on a movie, our first movie as a production company. It is a fictional documentary called Dearly Departed. It's shot as if we were able to take a camera into the spirit world and interview dead people to get their take on life after death.
Mm. Wow.
It's you, Darryl. I see live people.
When is the release date? Do we have a release date?
We don't have a release date. Okay. The film will be done sometime in February, and we'll be talking to distributors to see when we can get it into a theater near you.
We're going to see it pretty soon, yeah?
You can see it sooner.
I love it.
Nice.
I cannot wait.
And then, of course, when this is coming out or doing whatever it's going to do, we would love to have you back to talk about it.
Love to.
You'll be here.
All right, well, listen.
We have the schedule as a regular appearance.
That's right. He'll be penciled in.
A fixture.
What does that
time look like? I don't have my glasses on, and Spence, our engineer, is flashing. Is that pictures of your kid? Oh, no, it says our time's up.
Oh,
but
man.
There is no time.
There is no time. Have you not learned anything over this show?
That's right.
We have to do it again?
We might have to. But in this chosen reality, this chosen moment, I am going to let our audience know that Bashar.org is the website.
So,
go ahead. You're doing a good job.
.Bashar.org.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
You were. You said it very well.
And we highly recommend that you go there now and often. And we are grateful that you are here now because we will be right back. But, of course, Darryl will not be with us. And, Darryl, thank you so much for spending the time with us
today.
Thank
you, guys.
Great having you here.
Thank you.
Stay with us because we'll be right back here on Cutting Edge Consciousness.
Welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness, thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
And we are back on KKZZ 1400 AM, and this is Cutting Edge Consciousness with my buddy Freeman Michaels. That's it, right? Freeman Michaels?
He's working you're belaboring to say all the things you say every week.
I just want to make sure, am I missing a point?
No, there's two Ks.
Cutting Edge Consciousness. So I'm actually doing my best to get a little back into my body, a little centered after that that blast of unbelievable
straight wisdom.
So much
you
want to
download?
Take in.
Here, plug into this.
Yes. Whoa. That is a lot to take in, and always a pleasure to spend time with Darryl.
Life gets really fun when it gets dimensional, when it gets uber dimensional, including all those paradoxes.
Life gets fun when it gets dimensional.
Yep. And all I can think of
I think the new KKZZ T-shirt, isn't it? life gets fun when you catch the signal.
Cutting Edge Consciousness T-shirt. I'm not sure if the rest of the station will come along with us, but who knows?
You never know.
I'm open.
You never know.
I'm open. So the part of that conversation.
There's a little something going on with your microphone.
It's true.
It's got like a mind of its own. It seems to have lost enthusiasm for. I don't know.
What does that mean?
Of the excitement seems to have gone out of your microphone.
What does that mean?
Grab that, will you?
I will.
So you...
I had a train of thought, but I've lost it.
I saw it go by. I saw it go by. You were about to say...
I don't know what I was about to say. It drooped. I totally lost
You were about to say about...
I want to talk about Frequency Alchemists.
Oh, yeah.
Frequency Alchemy.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to talk
about.
Boy,
that was a good save.
Thanks. So that was actually yours. I thought that was really good, too. Bashar liked that. Daryl liked that. I don't know if Bashar liked it, but Daryl liked it.
Daryl doesn't say anything if Bashar doesn't like it. Bashar gives him the thumbs up. Daryl says, yeah, I like that.
All right, good.
I'm kidding, Daryl. I know you're on the, I know you're listening to the radio. Just kidding, buddy.
So let's talk a little bit more about frequency alchemy.
Yeah.
Becoming acutely aware of resonance and frequency and what we're tapping into and what we're running and how we're aligning with certain almost systematic or they're like grooves.
It's a recipe. It's almost, and this is very, very undefined for me. So it's
we're into
really
the sacred. I don't know.
We are so yes. It's so the edge of my own exploration.
About mystery too. Go ahead.
So much the edge of my own exploration, but I see more and more. I'm attuned to the blending of certain kinds of frequencies. You know how people blend wines and spices and. Mm. As you begin, I'm more aware of deconstructing those blends. I can taste the pepper in food. I can taste the cardamom in food. I can taste this or that. And I'm more aware of that in a sensory way. And now I'm beginning to explore, well, what happens if I begin to cobble those things together, not just in cooking, but what if I begin to cobble together my own emotional experiences. For example, we talked about beauty, but if I tap into the feeling of curiosity and the feeling of humility, when I experience them both simultaneously, they add up to something very different. It's like a more complex wine. Mm-hmm. It begins to bubble up to something that you could more accurately call maybe wonder.
Yeah.
So then this is a very alive exploration for me, and I am holding it as a cutting edge of possibility for new capacity, new sense capacity, heretofore unexplored. And then, you know, I was talking to Sandy not so long ago, and I said, you know, I'm not really sure what the point of this is. And she said, well, you know, it's all new capacity. You're a creative guy. It's an act of creation.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're creating. Well, there's creation and then there's innovation. It's an act of innovation.
Mm.
At the time, how many years did we go around in the early days of our marriage with a computer and wondering, well, what the heck do you do with this thing? It's an adding machine. What are you supposed to do with it? What do I need this for? And you begin to mature into a discovery of applications. But I am quite certain that back at when Steve Jobs and Wozniak were sitting around, that they had a sense of possibility that didn't nearly extend to the extent to which their creations have unfolded. Nor did the folks at DARPA in the Army all those years ago when they laid the foundations for something that they thought was simply a military communication system, that it would one day evolve into the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
So these are new capacities of my own internal webbing and rewiring.
But what's important, there's a couple things. The little saying that we'll know where we are when we get there strikes me in this moment, that there's enough of a foundation to be able to jump off into the journey and discover more and more and more. In fact, the discovery process and the unfolding process is the ride. It's the joy of the whole thing. So you know, everything being tied so tightly, and we've talked about this a lot on this show, to, you know, the five results. Again, I said that even last time. I said there's five ways I can be successful. Just five? Yeah, just five. I mean, that's a lot of my programming. So as I dimensionalize my experience and I begin to become more more nimble, more I'm expanding, then there's more and more possibility. And then we find ourselves at a place where we're playing an energy game. It's a frequency alchemy thing of like, wow, what can I tap into? Like, I'm so open to other ways of processing information, to use your computer example. It isn't just logic and reason. I want to feel this. No, wait a minute. I want to sense it. I want to, you know, intuit
And these
it.
Are new senses.
And these are new senses.
This is...
No, new
this
to is, us. New to you and I. We did a lot of things.
They're new to... They're certainly new to us.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're very conditioned to relate to the world through our common senses.
Yeah.
And now we are beginning to become awake.
Yeah, because if you went to your Bali medicine man, you said to him, there's these senses. He's like, ah, I've been doing that for years. Well, what are you talking about, kid?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. We have a phrase that's been appropriated by largely by business, you know, business being one of the more creative, one of the more highly creative expressions of creativity. How's that for redundant? For the Department of Redundancy Department, creative expressions of creativity.
They're going to send you a little notice. No more of that.
No more, yeah, note to self. No more. But it is a highly, highly creative expression of creativity in this country. It's not simply, these creative energies are not only expressed through artistic expressions, although the conventional wisdom is that are you a writer, are you a filmmaker, are you a dancer? These same energies of creativity are expressed in this country through one of our greatest contributions, business, when it is done with a certain kind of integrity. But my point is that we explore our world and we create using the conventional wisdom of the five senses, and those five senses are the modulators by which we perceive physical reality: touch, taste, smell.
Yeah,
and there are others that we're beginning to discover. The business world refers often to intuition, to gut instincts.
Yeah.
When we begin to unpack gut instincts, there are qualities to gut instincts that we have discussed here once before, but we're going to explore at greater depth. There are certain qualities to these that have to do with the detection of light and life, the detection of charisma and vitality, of substance, of warmth, of movement, and not just, for example, the warmth temperature-wise, ice is cold and fire is hot, but the emotional warmth of somebody you're with. We watch the campaign on television, the primary campaigns, and we're able to connect with the emotional warmth or lack thereof of certain candidates or certain pundits. We see their agendas. We see there's a coldness
to some. We're reading them energetically. We're actually responding.
These are new metrics.
And we've talked about on this show quite a bit as a quality or the essence of something. Again, it's this way of seeing things
It's a way of seeing through the eyes of the heart hearing through the ears of the heart.
Yes.
It is an entirely different It's a additional bandwidth. There is more bandwidth. We have more devices and modulators with which to experience the world. And as we explore, we become the pioneers, the exploring pioneers of this additional bandwidth. The world reveals itself. It reveals itself equal to our ability to perceive it. And we cannot perceive beyond which we can beyond that which we can conceive of, as we loosen up our tightly held constructs of belief and thought and choice, these other capacities begin to become available to us. It's a dance. It's a delicate dance of exploration.
It's a fun dance.
It's a fun dance. Anybody in the car still there? Hello? Anybody?
Well, and part of what we've been talking about, you know, it almost is interesting because here we are a year and a half into this show, and I think maybe our second guest was Howard Martin from HeartMath, which, you know, takes us back all the way to the very beginning where we started with the idea that, not the idea because it's something we've been discussing, you know, you and I both have on our own and together have been working on here, and but way before this, about what else is there to utilize, to conceive of and perceive our world, and clearly this moving towards other senses and opening of other ways of dimensionalizing our experience that ultimately we recognize empowers us, which of course was the whole conversation we had with Daryl, the channel for Bashar. So it's an exciting conversation. It's not the end of it, because if you tune in each week, we'll keep talking about it. And I'm grateful to have the
if you tune in between the shows, we keep talking about it, too.
Yeah. Well, we tune in a lot, the two of us. And, you know, I'll mention this because we have a few more minutes, is one of the things that I marvel at often is how tuned in we are. And we pick people to go on a particular journey with. You and I have done this. We had the Wives show, and the Wives came on, mine and yours, and how much we were matching
that show
up.
That show caught fire. Do we have, like, 1,700, 1,800?
That's just the clip on YouTube. There's a lot of people have
in
listened to the podcast. Yeah, in a week. Yeah, no, it's gone really well. I think people are responding to it because as much as they hear us talk about what we're talking about, and I think they appreciate it, and our guests and so forth and so on.
How did these guys get women like this?
That was another comment.
Somebody sent me that comment. How did you get a woman like that?
How did you score that?
You are punching above your weight class, somebody
said. That's what they said, yeah. But the idea that it makes it very human, like it's exactly what I said to Daryl. I said, great, now I got to pick up a gallon of milk. How do we integrate this so it really becomes expressed in very practical, very pragmatic ways? And that, of course, is an illustration of that. That it's one thing for us to talk about it once in a week, but then we bring our wives in, and my wife talked about there are babies to feed. There are children to clothe and get to swim class and da 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 da. So then consciousness has a totally different dimensional offer in that context, in the context of that, of my relationship, of our raising our children, of our jobs, and so forth and so on. So that's I think, what was so exciting about that for people. And it's exciting for me, because that's when it gets expressed. You know, it's one thing here, again, going back to the show, we said it's one thing to get it cognitively. It's another thing to experience it. And that's the big payoff. So, you know, it's not that one is necessarily better than the other. It's that we sometimes can understand something conceptually before we finally have an experience and go, oh, this is what I've been talking about
one
for a year
and
a half.
Developmentally different experience, an appropriate developmental experience than another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all I got for you. And with that, we have to say goodbye. But listen, I want to invite you to, if you enjoyed this show.
You're inviting me?
No, I'm inviting our audience.
I never get an invitation anymore.
All right, you're invited too. Our audience and Barnett, if you enjoy the show, you can share it. And if you share it, we'll be very grateful.
And it would be great, folks, if you would go to our Facebook page and like us on our Facebook page. We like being liked, and there's some goodies up there. Last I looked, there were some nice special things up there. So please go and check that out, and we will see you back here next week. Thank you.